And it's my job just to open up the Bible and to say, what is the Bible saying into this situation at the moment? So if you've got a Bible with you, or you want to turn your Bible on, whichever is easiest for you, can you turn please to John chapter 12? I hope it will come up on the screen. And we're just going to read verses 24 to 28 from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Verse 24. This is Jesus speaking. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honor anyone who serves me. And then Jesus carries on. And now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? But it's for this very reason that I came. Father, bring glory to your name. Quite well-known verses from John's Gospel. And they're at this beginning of this moment when Jesus, he went back into Jerusalem, and it's the run-in, really, to him being executed. So he went back into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and 5 days later, he was strung up on a cross and died. 5 days after this, he was strung up and died. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey for, well, one, to fulfill a prophecy that was spoken many, many years ago. And two, because I think he wanted to wind some people up. He wanted to wind some people up who had this expectation of what a Jewish Messiah was going to look like. And he said, no, actually, the Messiah who's going to come and save the world is going to look very, very different. And Jesus, he knows what's coming. It's not like he went into Jerusalem thinking, oh, I don't really know what's going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. He knew he was going to have to give up and surrender his life and die. And most people think that Jesus was crucified because he refused to deny that he was God. And that is the case. He refused to deny that he was God. And the Pharisees really didn't like that. But more importantly, Jesus died so that he would be punished in my place. That's what we believe as Christians, that Jesus died to be punished instead of me. Now, when I was growing up, for a long time, I thought, how on earth does that work? How does that work? That somebody, I'm like living now, as we all are, that's a slightly more existential question, but we are all living now, reality is here. But how can Jesus, who died 2,000 years ago, have any bearing on my life? How does that work? Well, Romans 8 explains it fairly simply, and it just says this, that just as when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, and when Adam sinned, so because of that, we couldn't help but be born into a life of sin. He sinned, therefore we all sin. We can't help it. When we're born into a life of sin. But Romans 8 also says this, but because Jesus came and sacrificed himself, we have the option of finding new life and becoming spiritually alive in him. These verses explain a great theological, profound concept that probably explained how you had your breakfast this morning. Can I just do a very quick survey? Jill's thinking, what are you talking about? Hands up if you had toast this morning, cereal, porridge. Hands up if you had a donut this morning. Yeah, very good. Nice donuts. Cup of coffee only. Jesus was speaking into your breakfast this morning because he said this. If you want to grow a new plant, what have you got to do? You've got to put a seed in the soil and it's got to die. And we all know, in fact, have we got some? Yeah, so you've got to put, these are like wheat seeds. So you've got to put a whole load of these in the ground, one of them, and go on to the next one, Simon, if you can. And then they start growing. They grow up, and then onto the next one. And then you have wheat fields and fields of it. One seed in the ground dies, creates this whole plant, hundreds and hundreds of new seeds. And therefore, that's how you made your breakfast. How your bread came, how your cereal came, how your porridge came. Because that's the agricultural principle of multiplication. If you want to have a nice, can you go back to a nice, I've got a nice picture of a nice sourdough loaf. If you like sourdough, it came from this principle that Jesus was talking about in Rome, in John chapter 12. A seed's got to go into the ground and die, and then new life comes. And what Jesus was saying is this, that I've got to do the same thing. Jesus said, I've got to go into the ground, I've got to die that new life might come. I've got to go and die on this cross that you can be forgiven for your sins. He had to surrender his life. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The three young people that are getting baptized this morning, they are all what sociologists would call Gen Zers. Has anyone understood, you know what Gen Zers are? Go on to the next one, Simon, if you can. I just thought you can't do a picture of a Gen Zer without them being on their phone, okay? I'm sorry, I just had to get that in there, okay? Gen Zers do some really weird stuff, okay? If you're in that age group, you do some weird stuff, okay? Why do you never, ever use punctuation in a text message? Why do you never put capital letters in? It annoys me so much. I'm texting my kids, and they're just, and they send about 7 messages when one would have done. They'll write one word, send it, one word, send it, one. No punctuation at all. It's weird. You hate talking on the phone? Sometimes I just say, well, just read. No, some people just, Gen Zers don't often really, they won't pick the phone at something they don't really know. You like filming everything. And you don't like taking driving tests because taking an Uber is so much cheaper. And the older I get, the more I realize you're absolutely right on that. But did you know what? That sociologists have also found some other things about Gen Zers. That you love working together. Apparently, you are the most collaborative generation that's been around for a long time. You like getting people together, and you like working together. You love working with people from all sorts of different backgrounds. You delight in it. That's just the way that you're brought up. You're the first generation that is digitally native. You're the first generation that has been born. You've never not known the internet. But you love working together with people face to face. You care for people in a way that other generations don't. And you care for issues in a way that other generations haven't. When I was growing up, if somebody was a vegetarian, they were just weird. They were, you know. But some of our kids have been vegetarians because out of issues of animal welfare. And they think, oh, we don't want to be part of that system that is cruel. But there's something about Generation Z that actually you care for issues. The other thing that you are willing to do is that you are willing to lay your life down for something that you feel you are passionate about. Climate change. Inequality. Showing compassion to those people in need. Generation Z, you are very, very good at that. And most importantly, you are very, very good at laying your life down to follow Jesus. You count the cost. You count the cost of what it means to follow Jesus. It's an outstanding quality that you have, and we would hope that generations to come will have. Jim Elliot was a famous missionary. When was Jim Elliot around? Does anybody know? 50s? 60s? Jim Elliot was an American missionary. He went out to share the gospel with some tribes in the Amazon basin. He started sending gifts to these people, flying over them, sending gifts. Then in the end, they thought they'd land. They landed, they killed him. Him and his, I think, 4 colleagues. Just murdered. But before that, Jim Elliot had written probably what is his most famous quote, and he said this: "He is no fool that gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim Elliot made this decision that he would give up his own life because he couldn't take it anyway. But he would give up his own life to gain what he cannot lose, eternal life and living for Jesus. And your baptism today, the three of you who are getting baptized, is this very visible and public declaration that you are going to be obedient to Jesus. That you're going to live your life, that you're going to lay down your life to follow Jesus for the rest of your days. When you're 83, Leona. It's weird. Can you imagine some of these young people thinking, when they're 83, that's weird. When I'm 83, or maybe 84, I don't know, but I want to be sitting in my armchair and I just want to be worshiping Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul. And all of you that are getting baptized, this is the moment where you're thinking, publicly declaring, I'm just going to follow Jesus. It's not the actual moment when they made their commitment to follow Jesus, but it's the day they go public. Any friends can know. Anybody can see, this is who I am. And generation said, well done, you're good at it. You're very, very good at it. Standing out and being different, standing up for what you believe in. And so what you happen is that when you go down into this water, which it is quite warm, to be honest. It is quite nice. It's a grave. That's what it is. This is a grave. You go down into this water and you die to your old self. The old life has gone. The old way of living, the old pressures that you had, that's gone. It's gone. It's dead and buried. Living for yourself, it's gone. And then what happens is you come up to what? To new life. You come up to new life. It's not actually the moment it happens, but it's this picture, it's this demonstration, it's this going public of what is an internal reality within you. And when you go down, you're taking part in the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. You're identifying with him that new life might come. Friends, it's the key to being spiritually fruitful. If you want to be spiritually fruitful in your life, die. Die to yourself and find new life in Christ. Follow Jesus. Die to yourself. Live differently. Go where Jesus leads and do what Jesus tells you to do. Can I just pray? Father, I thank you so much that you invite us to this place of laying down our lives that we might find new life in you. Just as a seed goes into the ground and that seed dies in the earth, but a hundredfold of life comes back. Just as you went in and died that we might have life. Lord, we pray now that we would be those who willingly lay down our lives to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that when we do that, you pour your Holy Spirit into us in such abundance, such joyful, extravagant abundance. I thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. I thank you, Lord, that the plans that you have for us are good plans, that we might prosper and thrive in you, O Lord. Father, we thank you that we have an eternity. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the moment that when I die, that's not it, but I come to be in your presence and live with you in joyful celebration forever and ever. I thank you, Lord, that even the worship this morning was just a slight glimpse and a foretaste of what it will be like to be in your presence, O Lord. Father, I thank you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us? I pray particularly for Leah and for Leona and for Nathan. Come fill them with your Holy Spirit right now. Empower them from within. I pray streams of living water would flow from within them. And if you have never considered what it is to be a Christian, you think it's weird to lay down your life, that you might find new spiritual life in Jesus, I just want to pray for you. very briefly, and I would love it if you came and spoke to me afterwards. Lord, I pray that through some of the stories and the testimonies that we're about to hear, that, Lord, you would speak into our hearts. Lord, for those of us that don't know you, have never made that decision to follow you, Jesus, I pray, come and speak into our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.